expectation, because all through the Bible, you know, those that had an expectation of God, it brought a manifestation of deliverance and supply in everything. And He's no different today. God is no different today. So if you're not in a place of expectation, got a lot going on in your life and all that, get your mind off of all of that and roll it over on the Lord and get into the place and say, today is my day. I'm going to receive the engrafted Word of God that is going to change me. It said it's able to save my soul, but it's going to change me. And you get in that place, God. I'm gonna get an impartation today, God. You got to do it. That's the way you shift gears and get in a place of expectation. God, you're going to manifest yourself to me today. God, you're going to strengthen me today. God, you're going to give me clarity and wisdom today, God. And be in that place to where God will do that, you know, because the Bible says that God's His sheep, you are, if you're born again and you're following Him, He says, His sheep hear His voice, and another they will not follow. That means we clearly hear the Lord, we clearly have His direction, and all of that. We're not out here trying to hear God. No, we hear God. We got to get in line with the Scripture and our believing. He said, His sheep hear my voice. You go around saying, I'm His sheep, and God, I hear your voice. I hear your voice. I hear your voice. And it builds faith. Hallelujah. But that's not my message this morning. But God began to deal with me. We talked about, if I was going to title it, we'd be taking up our cross. And I just began to meditate on some things. Wednesday night, we talked about being victory-minded. You know, and but the Word of God, I mean, you know, the word following the Lord is really simple. I know y'all were quiet. It's not really complicated to follow the Lord. The complication is not renewed mind. The complications come in when we don't know the will of God and we get frustrated, you know, and all of that instead of waiting and you know, but I'm going to be talking about some of those things this morning. And Monty covered some things. He wanted to know where my scripture was, but he couldn't have it because it was mine. But he quoted just a little bit of it, you know, and I told Teresa, I said, he wrote it down wrong and all that. I said, because I've got it. It's in Matthew chapter 16. And Travis, put that up there for me, please. Hallelujah. Back before this, Jesus was... He is teaching the disciples different things. And to come down, and Monty talked about the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must, this is in red really, how he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now he says he's teaching his disciples. He's telling his disciples what he's going to have to go down there. I don't know what he told them. If he foreseen everything and was telling them how he's going to be tortured and all of that. I mean, he knew what Isaiah said, so I'm sure he did. He's telling them all that, but the Bible don't just plainly tell us that. Priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, that this shall be not unto thee. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense to me, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And I want to bring out how Peter, you know, I guess out of his emotions, out of his love for Jesus, whatever the reason was, Peter rebuked Jesus. I mean, Peter said, no, be it far from you, you know, and Jesus rebuked Peter and told him, he called him Satan because he was thinking about the flesh. He was thinking about, you know, And so he told him, he said, take up his cross and follow me. Well, he said, if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. Now, the will of the cross. See, now, Jesus hadn't been to the cross. At this point, Jesus was telling them, I'm going to the cross. So it meant something that he would bring up. You must take up your cross and follow me. Because, you know, I mean, it was significant that Jesus was telling them that. But Peter was thinking about the flesh. He was thinking carnal. He was thinking, even though Jesus had told him, you know, all of this is going to happen and all of this stuff, you know, see, what the cross is in mine and your life today is where our will crosses God's will. That simple. Just to break it down and make it simple, you know, the cross is where our will crosses God's will. And it went on, you know, and Jesus, when Jesus went on and went to the cross, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but the cross in mind of your life is when our will crosses God's will. See, God wanted me saved. God wanted me saved and born again, for God so loved the world that he gave, and he would that none should perish. That was the will of God, okay? Now, my will on a riverbank, when a preacher was on a riverbank, I don't know how old it was, 12, 13 years old, and he's trying to, my brother gave his heart to the Lord on that riverbank, but I chose my will over God's will that day. And so life goes on and all of that stuff, you know, and Satan's out here, he's the god of this world, you know, and God was saying, your will is crossing my will and you're rejecting my will, so therefore you're yielding to Satan. Peter was yielding to Satan, called him Satan, right? I didn't say it, Jesus did. You know, because, you know, the will of God, Jesus knew the will of God, and Monty talked about it, you know. Jesus was on a journey. He laid his life down. They didn't do it on their own. I mean, the Bible says there was 10 legions of angels waiting at the command when Jesus Christ was on that cross that would have delivered him, the Bible says. But anyhow, you know, I went on, you know, and then I'm yielding to Satan. See, if you're not yielding to God, you're yielding to the flesh, you're yielding to the enemy. Because our carnal nature is to reject God. Our flesh nature is to reject God. It's, you know, but our spirit man wants the will of God. Our spirit man, and even when I was telling Stacy, we're all believing for family members. If we got any in our family that they get born again and get right with the Lord, hopefully we really want them to, because their life will be changed, you know. I was thinking about it, and I told Stacy, she was talking about some, and I said, well, what it is people choose their will over God's will. God's will is good. God's plans are good. God's way. So I go on and I'm yielding to the devil. I'm talking about before I get born again. And I'm going all the wrong directions to be successful, because we are created by God to be successful. Before we get born, I mean, we're created by him to be successful, to succeed, you know. But without him, we won't be able to do it. Most people won't do it. Because just like Jesus, he stripped himself of being God and became a man flesh and walked in the power of God, walked in the power, the anointing, and walked in the grace of God, and had the ability through that to be whipped and tormented and persecuted. He wasn't on his own. He wasn't in his own man's weak power. He was in the power of God, and we are in the power of God. But he told Peter, he called him Satan. I rebuke you, Satan. For you're thinking about the things of the flesh. You're thinking about your own life. You're thinking about how you feel. You're thinking about your emotions. And if you don't come away from that, you're going to lose your spiritual life, your eternal life. But if you will take up your cross, if you will deny yourself, he said, then you will find your life. You will find your life. And how many knows the cross is simply put, it is when my will or our will crosses God's will. And God will make sure that me and you know what His will is. He will not hold us accountable where we don't know His will. He'll make sure He is faithful. Somebody say, God is faithful. He will not leave you ignorant. He will not leave you at the mercy of Satan. After you're born again. Now, if you're not born again, you're just like any of us. You're living outside of God. You are wide open for the curse that is in this earth. You are wide open for the God of this world, and He will give you thoughts and things and visions of freedom and, praise God, and lead you right into bondage. He'll lead you right into sin. He'll lead you right into rebellion. He'll lead you right away from the will of God. And you know what? I found the will of God when I got born again. I found that peace. Praise God. I got up, you know, and didn't want to commit suicide. What I had done, my will crossed God's will that morning, and I so chose God's will and didn't even know I was doing it. All I said is, God, my life is, you know, if you're real like they say you are, then help me. That's all I said to God. I didn't know in Revelations over there it said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He was knocking at the door, and I opened the door up and I let Him come in. And my life has been being transformed and changed for 30 years. And it's still today, I have to choose God's will over my will. I have to continually, it's not a one-time thing. It's not a one-time thing. You know, where we go to church. If you're supposed to be to church right here, you know, find the will of God in your heart. You don't confer with people. You find the will of God personally for yourself. That's saying, God, I want to know what the cross is in this area. God, I want to know what your will is in this area. And when you find where you're supposed to be going to church, then that's where you go. That's where you plant. That's where you partake. That's where you put in. That's where you fellowship. That's where you pray out there for the body. That's where, you know, you get involved in the things that church is doing for God. Why? Because in doing that, you are taking up your cross and following Him. And you'll find life. You'll find I find that in my own life that there is joy and peace and fulfillment in taking up my cross and following Jesus. There's peace. There's fulfillment. This world leaves you drained. This world tries to steal your joy and demonic spirits and dealing with the world and the things in the world, you know. The Bible says, for us to come out from among the world and be separate, says the Lord. And I'll receive you unto myself. You know, even you teenagers, you know, you're wanting to be free, you think, you know. Sometimes you're at home, you've got it made, and blah, blah, blah. You know, and it just seems like you start wanting to freedom and all of that stuff. That's normal. That's normal that we feel that we want to grow and develop and we want to mature and we want to fly, so to speak, and expand and explore and all. But we can't leave God out of it. You can't leave God out of that. Don't make your own plans. Don't make your own plans. Don't let your head come up with all these fantastic, you know, dreams and all of that that's not coming from your heart and begin to follow them. Because Satan's out there, he wants you led by his spirit. He wants you led by the wrong spirit. He wants you, I mean, he'll paint pictures for you, and I'm not just talking about teenagers. You know, he'll paint pictures for you. If you just had a better job, you'd be better off. If you had a better boss, you'd be better. No, you know, take up your cross and follow him. Don't go off on all these tangents, you know, and let the enemy just lead you right out of the will of God, because you'll begin to be unfulfilled. You'll begin to be unjoyful. You'll be unhappy. You won't, I mean, life will just not be good as it would when we are taking up our cross and following Him. You know, how many knows that to have, and that's a victory mindset. Once you find where you go to church. I know I bring up church a lot. I mean, I'm beside myself that I feel that way. I wasn't even recruiting people like that to go to the bars. I should have, if I'd have thought about it back then, I would be rounding up Blount County. Let's go to the bar. You know, but I have this supernatural, I can't help it, on the inside of me that church, going to church is taking up your cross and following the Lord. Going to church is way deeper and important and imparting in our life than sometimes we realize, unless we just have deep revelation of it from the Lord. Because the Bible says that He'll build His church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The word church in there means called out from your living room, called out, called together an assembly. That's what church means in the Bible. Now, Christians have got it, you know, we are the church. We are they're talking about individuals by themselves. They are the church, but that's not what the Bible declares it. The Bible declares that person, me, just individually as a member of the body, as a member. Right? Not the church. I'm not the church. You know? And when I heard that statement one time, you know, I thought, what is happening here is Satan is trying to get me to lay down the cross, not go to church like I know it's the will of God. How many knows you know it's the will of God if you're born again? You don't have to have nobody to drill you on that every week. We don't have to know, you know, be drilled on going to church and being faithful to the things of God. We don't have to be whipped and all of that and badgered to do it. I mean, if we're born again, we know what the will of God is as we go. He'll make sure that you know that you'll just have this on the inside. It's God's will. I had it going to my church up there. A lot of people didn't like that church. Oh, they're this, they're that, they're this. They had their suitcases full of reasons why, and they had to share them with you. How many of those people that's complaining and all of that about what they really don't like, they want to share it with you. And then if you're not careful, you start thinking, well, yeah, you know. I had this one guy, he slept through the services, and then he got up and wanted to prophesy to everybody. I had a problem with that. I thought, man, I'll quit this church. You got a false prophet in here. And when I think that, I think, man, I can't let a false prophet get me out of the will of God. See, I took going to church where I was at, that's where God wanted me, and that was God's will, and that was my part of taking up my cross and following Him. And praise God, all kinds of good things happened at that church in the 8 years that I was there. I learned a lot. I grew a lot. I developed love a lot. I mean, you've got to have unruly people in your life to exercise love. You can't have sweet potato pie all the time. I mean, you can't have it. You can't have Johnny's parking spot every time. He wants it back. Johnny could care less where he parks, you know. But see, when we make our mind up that we're going to follow Jesus, call it what you want to. But it's taking up your, he was telling Peter, look, you're going to have to get over all of this. I'm telling you what's going to happen. Everything's not going to happen good in my life, but I've got to go to this place. I've got to go there. It is God's will. It is my will. See, Jesus had God's will, and Jesus was set out. It ain't just because it was Jesus. Me and you know the will of God. I know it's God's will for me to come here, and ain't nobody can pay me a lot of money to pastor somewhere else. I can tell you right now, I'm not for sale. Praise God, hallelujah. I've had people before tell me, well, your church ain't real big. Why don't y'all just come and integrate with us? And I'm like, have you asked God about what you just said before you offer me something like that? Have you asked God? Have you even thought about that you're trying to get me out of the will of God? because of your thinking. That's what he was telling Peter. Now, I wasn't trying to be ugly or anything like that, you know, I'm in God's will. I'd rather be stuck in the middle of God's will with a handful of people than be out of the will of God over at your packed out church. I will be a Jonah to you. See, I realized in my life that I've got to stay where God wants me. And a lot of times, you know, revival will be going on somewhere and all of that, you know, and I'll be like, oh man, it's happening over there. They're going through Wednesday and everybody talking about, and then I'll be like, but my church is going. And so I'll be like, nah, that's not the will of God. You know, I know it's not the will of God because I'm supposed to turn the lights off even though I never done it. I rode with a Speedy Gonzales. You ever notice, Doris? When churches, I mean the last minute altar call, she goes to twitching. And I'm talking about when it's over, she's going and out in the car, and she rival and run over. We keep our grandkids in the church till she gets out of the parking lot. Well, that's the way Teresa was, buddy. I mean, I'm like, let's go 30 minutes early, baby. And she's like, I'm telling you right now, I'm not getting there. We're getting there. And I talk like I talk. She don't talk like that. She makes that clear to me, but I make it sound funny. I hear it that way. So I'm just portraying how I hear it. So it's my version. And so she'd tell me, I'm telling you right now, I'm not getting there 30 minutes early. You just drive yourself. And I'd be like, well, that's 40 minutes, man. It cost us $10. You know, I'm not doing that. And then when church is over, now we're not going to stand around in there and talk either. I mean, when it's over, it's over. So there wasn't no lingering. I was like that. I hang around, talk with the guys on the foyer, you know, man. We don't get to talk. We're going to church, man. We're going to fellowship a little bit, you know. And all of that. Well, you know what? Even in that, for me not to get mad, you know what I had to do? Take up my cross. And say, bless God, Lord, not my will, but your will. I ain't got to have my will because I kick her to the curb. Tell somebody to take her home. I'm driving her car. Then it would not be good. I'd look like a peeled onion like Johnny. I'd not have no hair left. Praise God. You look good. It's shining, man, shiny. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But how many knows God's will whenever we set our mind and heart to take up our cross and follow. I can't tell you what your cross is. I can tell you what a lot of it is. I can tell you what a lot of the will of God is. That you love your enemies. You don't have to pray about that. You ain't got to say, oh God, I don't know if this is your will for me, God. No, that's God's will. There's certain things in that Bible. That's why we need to read the Bible. Because the Bible is clear on most all issues in our life. The Bible is clear on it, what the will of God is. But you know what? When my will crosses God's will, God's not trying to destroy me or you. God is saying, if you will take up your cross right here, then when you go to the cross, you will have my power. You will have my fulfillment. You will have my joy. A lot of Christians are not experiencing and not having the joy of the Lord. And I'm talking about y'all teenagers at home. I mean, these little 5 and 6 year and 7 year olds up there. I'm giving Aiden the thumbs up. He's got his hands up. He's copying Samantha and some of those that are worshiping God. And that's the way we are. That's how they learn how to worship. They learn how to raise their hands. They're learning from us. They're not being made to do it. And so every time he looks over at me, I give him a thumbs up. And I'll do like that or something. I'll give him a thumbs up. And boy, I mean, that is going a little higher. He got noticed. And then I noticed he's singing the song. He's actually getting into the song. And that's not just all cute to me. That is, I have took up my cross and I'm in the will of God and I'm impacting that baby for his future because I'm in the will of God. Because I'm taking up my cross and following the Lord in my ministry. And you are too this morning. Y'all could be anywhere. You could have, you could have been at home. You could have stayed at home. You could have laid out of church. You could have been anywhere. But you chose this morning to take up your cross and follow the Lord. I noticed after I took up my cross back yonder in 19, whatever it was, I've forgotten now, three or four. My life has progressively been getting better ever since. I'm talking about the way I felt on the inside. Well, you could not buy it at that time. I felt so free. I felt like, man, what happened to me? What happened to me? I know what happened a little later on. Light came in. Life came in. Joy came in. The Holy Spirit came in. And Galatians 5:22 tells you everything He's got. The Bible says this is the proof that the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, that is the fruits, the proof, the fruits, the manifestation that came on the inside of me and you by the Holy Spirit. Now we got to let them operate by doing God's will, by taking up our cross. I mean, one of the first things that God in my own personal life dealt with me, because I was an angry person. I was hurt. I was angry. I was mad. I mean, just all hurt and all that. I didn't know that's what was making me act out. People act out a lot of times because they're hurt. Whether it's self-inflicted, how many knows you can have some self-inflicted pain? Self-inflicted. Just like the Lord told me, He said, honor your father and mother. This in the Bible, it says this is the first command with promise. You know, and I thought, well, they don't honor me. It's got nothing to do with whether people honor you, your parents honor you or not. God said that is the first command with promise. And so that's where I didn't want to be honest with you, you know, and everything, because I was still kind of rebellious to authority. Rebellious. Somebody say rebellious. And so I made up my heart. See, that's where my will crossed God's will. God did that. God is going to bring you to these places where He wants His will done in your life. And that's not a bad thing. That is a wonderful, 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 wonderful thing that God would do that for me. That He would say, I want you to honor your father and mother. This is the first command with promise. See, now I've put that out into your ears, teenagers, young kid. We teach Aubrey and Aiden that they're to honor their mother and father. They're 6, 7, and 9. So it's for all of us, whether we're 6, 9, 15, 18, 17, 23, 57. I've got spiritual father, and I honor Him. I've got He's not a perfect person. I could tear half His world apart nitpicking Him, but I don't do that. I honor Him. You know who gets honor? Who gets honor from God? Those that honor them. You honor your mother and father, natural mother and father here on earth. Mine's gone. Both of mine's gone. You know, I wasn't saved, and I didn't honor my father. I wasn't saved. I loved him, but I'd lie to him, borrow for him, not pay it back. Lie to him, especially when it went to see Teresa and I didn't have no vehicle because I wouldn't keep a job, so I'd lie and borrow his truck. I won't spin out and I won't run fast. I lied every time. And I never put his gas back in there. But when the Lord brought that to my attention, praise the Lord, I told the Lord, I said, I'm going to honor my mother. I'm going to do it. I'm going to set out and do it, God. You know what I did? That was bearing the cross. That was taking up my cross. That's where my will met God's will. Now, when God asked you to do that, don't go to detailing everything. What's He going to ask me to do? That's dumb. Don't get into all of that. Just set out in your heart to honor your mother and father. And let God bring supernatural power to you, supernatural faith, supernatural joy, supernatural fulfillment. You'll start feeling good. I mean, the more I did it with my mama, I mean, I wanted her to have my house before she left, and I gave it to her. I put her in a nearly brand. We bought it brand new, and we remodeled it brand new. We remodeled the whole thing, and I put my mom in it, and she died in my house. And then, just because my sister honored my mom by staying with her, we gave her the whole place. We signed it over to her, free. She got a debt-free home for staying with her mama, which that was a reasonable service, right? But you know what? Because I honored my mom, she honored me. By honoring my mom, then I felt like, let's bless her. And Teresa said, come in one day. I don't want to hear it from the Lord, but I believe the Lord said to give that place away. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to do it. You hear what I'm saying? I don't. And I'm like, I don't either. Man, at least to get back some of that $100,000 I got, that 2.8 acres. But see, that we come together and we knew it was the will of God. And then, you know what? That's where our will crossed God's will. God wanted us to do it, right? God wants you to do things that's not favorable for you. Come on, somebody. Not convenient to you. Going to cost you. Come on, somebody. Call sacrifice. I preached a sermon, salvation without sacrifice is not real salvation. If there's no sacrifice, there's no salvation. What do you sacrifice? Your will. You sacrifice your will. Me and Teresa backslid one time and just walked away from God. People say, once saved, always saved. I believe that. I believe you can't get saved again, but I believe you can walk away and reject God, praise God, and reject heaven. Reject it. I believe you can reject it. And so to think that way, people's just like, well, I'll just live any way I want. The Bible says, because of lawlessness, the love of many will wax cold. Because of lawlessness, that means no restraint anymore. If I don't want to go to church, I don't go to church. My love for God gets colder. I can tell you right now, I about had it with Monty and them guitars. Boy, I've been dealing with him 8 years. I love him. He's finally got straightened out. But you know what? He could have said, Bob, telling you, that pastor, he says, no, 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 take it, move it, take it off, move it, put it back. Me and him both could have been robbery against one another. I believe me and him, before we got saved, we'd have been something else up against each other. Because he's a Georgia hick, redhead, smart aleck, all that without God. Right? I'm Alabama. I don't know if I'm a hick or not. I really don't know what I am. I'm mixed breed, you know. I know a part of what I am. But I was rebellious and hateful and arrogant and all of that. Well, when the Lord comes in and he brings his will against my will and I yield to his will, then I start to be like Jesus. I start to be like him. I start to be like God. I start to be gentle and kind and you know, and flexible and not self-willed and not self-seeking according to God's will in there. You know, they come up with that bracelet, what would Jesus do? And you know, and I thought one time, well, you know, he didn't put up nothing. He turned the money changer's table over, and then the Lord said, yeah, but what did he do to Peter when he cut the ear off of the soldier? He rebuked him. He fixed his ear back. I imagine he said, no, Peter, this is not the way now. I am the way, not this way. Well, when the Bible says love your enemies, love your enemies. And you say, well, you just don't know what they've done. Right then you're saying, I don't want God's will. I'd rather be mad every night. I'd rather keep anger in my heart. I'd rather choose to not talk to them. I'd rather choose to not even see them if they live. So that's not freedom. See, the cross brings you where you can be around them, and you're like, glory to God. Thank God, I'm free. I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. Whom the Son sets free. You don't know freedom until you get there. And look, the cross, taking up your cross, leads you to freedom. It led Jesus to the cross up there. It led him to our freedom. See, Jesus was willing to pay the price. And when we take it up our cross, we're paying the price just like Jesus. Maybe not that requirement to go to the cross up there, because he don't need any more atonement that way. He had one man to do that, praise God. The Bible says he learned obedience, even the obedience to the cross. Jesus learned how to walk in the power of God all the way to the cross. See, victory-minded people have Bible expectations. Victory-minded people have Bible expectations. You know, they expect God to reveal His will to them, and then God give us the power to do His will. I had a lady come here one time. She says, "What have we got?" And there was a lady at church where I was going. Her teenagers got up, you know, a little bit, and they're up there, and they're going through, you know, the change of life and all that, and don't like no rules and want to be free and all that, and they're going through that. And I'm like, well, the next step is the same way. Alabama Power tells me what to do, you know, my car payment, I ain't got none of that. But when I get on up to the next step up there, I'm still under rules and regulations. I'm still under things that I really don't want. I really don't want to go to work, Johnny, every day. I'd rather be playing over yonder in the pond. You know, but I know it's God's will, so now I got to take up my cross and follow the will of God. Follow Jesus, right? Hallelujah. I was thinking about it this morning. I was thinking about, you know, I was thinking, what if he decided, you know, well, I used to work with this guy, and he went over here 2 or 3 miles down the road wherever he went to work, Tim Green. Yeah. I was thinking this morning, he didn't call up there or nothing. He just decided, well, bless God, you know I'm going over there. I think I want to go over there and see how he's running that crane or whatever he's running, you know. And then you go back the next day to your job, and I wonder what would happen. Where was you at? Well, boss, I just decided, you know, that I was curious how it was going on over there. And I didn't figure you would care if I neglected my whole job here and messed your whole work system up here. I didn't figure. And I was thinking about that. And I thought, that's what would have happened to me when I was evangelizing and I was going to a church and they told me down on the street, they said, you're going to be our pastor. We already know it. God's told us. We've already found the building and everything. And it never crossed my mind or anything. And I looked at them and I said, you're wrong. I said, God ain't told me nothing about pastoring a church. It sounded good. It really felt good. It felt exciting, really. Oh, got this whole bunch, man. We start off here, black God. After I preached the first sermon, take up your cross and follow Jesus, that'd have left me. They coming out on the street and getting all excited, people getting healed. And that was just God's timing for me to walk in that arena where He had me right then and be faithful to it, because He had things set up already that He wanted me to be there, praise God, and preach the gospel and people get healed and get back in church and get back right with the Lord and all of that. It wasn't that I was something special. All I was anointed for that season on that street. But you know what? I told him, I said, no, God ain't told me nothing, praise God. I got a jail ministry up down here. I got a jail ministry up my, I'm representing my church. I'm representing my church. You know, and I'm like, no, God ain't, I'm not starting no church. I'll see y'all next spring. And I did it for 3 years. And I mean, just about every year they'd be like, you're going to be our pastor. And I'm like, no, I'll come to church. Where y'all going to church? We want to build a church. No. You need to be seated somewhere. And then God sends you out. I said, that's the way they do it in Acts. They didn't send them out of their living room. They came together and they fasted and they prayed and they sought the will of God. They sought the heart of God. See, that's me and you today. We search out the heart of God. Even when you're thinking about quitting jobs because things are not in your favor, don't take it on your own and just and throw the cross down and just go making decisions like that without the Father. Because you know what, we make decisions like that, and that company that gives you a good bonus to sign on or whatever the case might be, they're on the edge of going under, but they're thinking they're going to make it, and right after you get there, they go under. Guess that, reckon that was the lead of the Lord? No. See, right in the will of God is where the provision of God comes, the answers to our prayers and all of the things that I told Teresa the other day, I think it was yesterday, I said, you know, I said, God has answered everyone. I said, He brought us. I said, we used to believe God to be in a place to where we were financially free and all of that just because we didn't have enough money every week and had to carry a calculator to the grocery store for years and couldn't get really what we wanted every time in there. And that's fine to be in that place, you know, but desire to come on. And I told her, I said, we believed and we sowed and we give to God and we followed the will of God. I said, now we're in that place to where we don't have to do that anymore. That was the desire of our heart, and we believe God to bring us here, and God brought us here. How many knows following the will of God brings you to the Canaan land? Brings you into the promises of God. Hallelujah. That's why Satan don't want you. He wants you in school, you know, making your own plans. Y'all young ones in school, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that, and not really inquired of the Lord. See, really, you don't know what your future holds, but God holds your future. But you know what? Just like me, 27 years of my life, and we had 7 years of the worst marriage we ever had, lost without God. But once I got saved, then God began to set me free, and the freer I got, the freer she got. And so, you know, when you make up your mind to follow the will of God, give me that, I think Romans 8 maybe. I'm going to have to close here shortly. Dinner's waiting on us, Mac. Oh! Therefore, there is no condemnation. This is amplified, I think. Therefore, there is now no condemnation, no judging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, has made us free from the law of sin and of death. Is that it? Okay. It says, for God has not done what the law could not do, its power being weakened by the flesh, the entire nature of man without the Holy Spirit, sending His only Son in the guise of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. God condemned sin in the flesh, subdued it, overcame it, deprived of its power over all who accepted, and to all who accept that sacrifice. So that the righteousness and just requirement of the law might be fully met in those who live and move, not in the ways of the flesh, but in the ways of the Spirit. Our lives governed not by the standards and according to the dictates of the flesh, but controlled by the Holy Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh are controlled by its unholy desires set their minds on and pursue the things which gratify the flesh. But those which are according to the Spirit and are controlled by the desires of the Spirit set their minds and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. Now this is what he's saying here, Paul, is the same thing that Jesus was saying about taking up your cross. See, if we don't take up our cross, we're yielding to the dictates of our flesh. When the Bible told me to love my wife like Christ loved the church, I did not. I said, God, I can't do that. She will take advantage of me if I get any nicer to her. Now, what was I doing? I was going by the thinking and dictates of the carnal man. You know, but I made up my mind. And the first thing, I went in there and I was working a full-time job and working for another man driving a truck, and and there was only one brownie or something left, and I was going to take it for my snack. You know, I usually get a couple. And there was only one left, and I thought, well, you know, she sits around here, and she don't got a job. She don't do nothing, watching TV and sucking up air conditioning, and I go to work and pay all the bills and all that. Man, she can do without this cookie, whatever it was. That was my first test of the cross in that arena, in that manner. I thought, oh, man, take up my cross and follow Jesus. I thought Jesus would prefer others before himself. He put us. And so I left it. And you know what? People give me cakes and different things, you know, and I thought, glory to God, man. These people wouldn't give you nothing, man. And they'd start bringing me cakes and stuff like that, you know, and I realized right quick, I thought, it's because I've done the will of God. Provision comes. He provided for me because I did the will of God. Okay, another little example. Give me that John 6, Travis. I got to get these two scriptures in. Jesus said, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but of the will of him that sent me. God told me one time, he said, you're to pattern after Jesus. Pattern after him. What would Jesus do? Pattern after him. And I thought, pattern after Jesus? He didn't come to do his own will. He said, that's what I did. He said, don't set out to do your own will. He said, my will's a lot better for you. You can't understand it. I've not shown you fully yet, you know, but trust me. Just trust me. See, the place where you know to do the will of God, set out and do it. Do it. Do it. Just do it. Lord, I know this is your will. I'm going to talk back to my parents. You know that's not the will of God. I'm going to talk back to grandma. We don't allow our grandkids to talk back to us, holler at us and talk back to us. We know that's not the will of God. Right? Teresa, she's no, 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 no. They look at her, no, no, no. They come to me and I'm like, sure. Just whatever. Just do it. I'm like, she's the no and I'm the yes. She's the no and I'm the yes. But you know what? When it comes down to if I believe that I'm helping them to rebel, I'll stop. I'll say, I don't know about all that. And when I say that a lot to them now because I don't really say no to them. I don't think, maybe I ain't never told them no, I don't know. But with something that I'm not going to agree with and I'm not going to go along with, I'll just look at them and I'll say, I don't know about all that now. And then they'll just leave me alone. I'm like, they know. That means no. I just don't have to say the word no, you know. But what I'm saying is I'm not going to let my will cross God's will concerning them, concerning anything. You know, if I know God wants me to stop and one time they didn't want me giving them money all because I bust them with money, and they don't want Papa spoiling them, you know. And I kind of got the idea that they didn't really want me doing that, so I was like, oh, Jesus, they're stopping me, Jesus. I'm like, glory to God. And then about a month goes by, and I thought, oh, I got to bust them with something, man. I got to do something. So I get them out there, and they work 3 minutes, and I give them $20. 3 minutes. They're like, we like working for Papa. Well, now I'm making them work, right? What's the rules now? 10 hours? 10 hours for $10, dollar an hour. Praise the Lord. Now I'm making fun of it, but I don't cross God's will in that right there. Give me that, give me the Luke right quick. And I, 22. And when he was in the place, he said unto them, pray. Now this is the Garden of Gethsemane. Monty brought it up a little bit. He says, this is not the garden. This is when he's headed, he's fixing to go, and he's fixing to be crucified, and he knows it. And when he was at that place, he said unto them, pray ye that ye enter not into temptation. Because he knew all this stuff is going down. Judas is fixing to come, kiss him, betray him, and they going to take him. And he knew that he's telling disciples, y'all pray. Y'all stay prayed up. How many knows it's good for us to stay prayed up that we don't enter into temptation? It's good to stay prayed up and fast. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, and what? Strengthened him. Okay, this is when Jesus went to the cross. Before he physically went to the cross, he surrendered his will to God's will. And then came the power. The power came, and God told me this back 28-9 years ago. He said, the minute that you make up your heart and you're going to surrender to my will, supernatural power comes to you. Supernatural strength. Even if he needs to, he'll send an angel. Hallelujah. And I thought, glory to God. This doing the will of God. And then I come up with this, you know, in my own life. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Once you know the will of God, you've got faith. And once you've got faith, then you can take up your cross and you can go to the other side. You can go through the fire. You can go through the flood. But he brings you out to a wealthy place. The gold and silver is his. It all belongs to him. And you're heirs and joint heirs. Why? Because you're in union with him and you're walking with him. And supernatural power is continually happening in your life. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you, love your enemies. That's the will of God. Honor your father and mother. That's the will of God. Forgive those that hurt you and persecute you and talk about you and have hurt you. That's the will of God. Ask people to forgive you when you know you've done wrong and you have hurt people. You ask them to forgive you. Ask them, tell them you're sorry. That's the will of God. That you reconcile. And you know what? When you do that, the Bible says that don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. That's the will of God. For you not to get bitter and not to get where you're unforgiving and angry and hateful and resentment and rolling your eyes when you don't like something to your husband or your wife. I know I'm boring you. The will of God's not very spectacular, fireworky. But it is dynamic on the inside. It's dynamite. I mean, it transforms, changes, and brings the power of God into our lives. So whatever you know to be the will of God, just do it. Just set out to do it. Sometimes, I don't feel like I've got the ability to do the will of God at times, as far as feeling. But I know that the Bible says, greater is he that is in me, and if God be for me, who can be against me, right? And the Bible says that you and me, we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Right? Hallelujah. My mom made a lot of choices that I really didn't like in her latter years, but I'd meet with my family and I said, look, I would tell them, look, the choices you make now is going to haunt you or they're going to bless you in the latter years because mom's not going to be here. And the choices you make now are going to be good. You can either have no regrets or you can wish you had have did things different and have that hanging over you. I said, but as for me, I'm going to honor my mother. I don't like all the choices she wants to make and with all of that stuff, but I'm going to make her feel independent. And I set out and I made my mama feel like she was in control, although she was not in control. And I mean, if she wanted something done to one of the kids or something, my phone rings. I'm telling you right now, get over here, Scott, they're doing this and this and this. I mean, she called. I thought, I'm not an executor, but she thinks I am. But you know what? My mom passed on, and I'm telling you right now, I don't have not one regret, not one. And that's why I passionately come up here and say, honor your mother and father. Don't deny the cross. Don't deny it. Forgive people, praise God. Live, let go and live, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And let God take being. Let God do it, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just praise you, and we thank you this morning.